Now, there was a point in the service when it would have been a nice time to round the service, because Pastor said something that was very, very, very vital. He said, your heart is the altar of God. And as his altar, it always needs to be on fire. On fire. Always on fire. Because the price to get your heart back was immense. But that price was paid. And all he's asking of you is let that fire keep burning. Keep burning. They looked at Peter and John. They saw these guys are uneducated. They are untrained. But they noticed the boldness. And the Bible says something very vital. They realized that they had been with Jesus. If you have been with Jesus, your heart, your altar will always, always, always be on fire. And the 2 to 3 hours we spend here, glory be to God. Basingstoke will not even be able to contain it. If and when your heart is always on fire. On fire for God. On fire for God. It ought to make you cry that somebody comes out here to try and cajole, encourage you only once a month for 1 hour to share with somebody out there who's in absolute darkness the light that you have. And I'm going to go beyond what Pastor and Brother Gray said. If you can't be there on the first of Saturday, that 1 hour, wherever you are, you're praying for those who have volunteered to go out. That's the least you can do for God if the altar of your heart is on fire. They are dying. Yes, you mentioned, even for me, out of confess, it can be uncomfortable. It can be. But you have the solution they're looking for. You have the answer to the question in their heart. The boldness, the rudeness is screen saver. If you get, when you get through, I remember that, what was the last words of Jesus? He says, even to the ends of the world. We are just staying in Basingstoke. But even if you take Jesus to the ends of the world, he said, I am with you. Yes, it's uncomfortable. Get over yourself. Yes, it is uncomfortable. Get over yourself. And I would agree, yes, it is. It can be. I think we have become politically correct. They looked at Peter and John, uneducated. We need to become uneducated because we have the answer. Anyhow, let's give it. Let's bombard them with the solution. Yes, they'll try and argue with you. They know, and you know, because what they're crying for, you're holding it. God hasn't asked you to heal. He just said, these signs shall follow. All he's looking for is somebody willing to lay a hand, and he will do the healing. Pray with them, and he will cause the change that they're looking for to happen. Amen. Our hearts. I think we need to repent. When Pastor mentioned it, I just said, let us just pray. Pray until by the time we leave, everybody's now back on fire. Because, oh, the altar of your heart needs to always be on fire. Amen. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. I'm not sure, but for me, for a very long time, especially when a believer leaves this side of time to eternity before 70 or 120, I feel bad. I say, devil has cheated them because God has promised 120 years. Why are you dying at 40? Where are you going? Where are you going? You haven't. And the Bible says, well, you shall satisfy your heart with long life. 40 is not long life. For me, but Paul said, to die is gain. But God told Adam, the day you eat of it, you shall surely what? Did he die? Did he fall down dead? No. He became eternally separated from God. The life, the glory of God that was in blood was withdrawn. He was eternally separated. Then you fast forward to Hebrews chapter 9. He says, for it's appointed for man once to die. Once to die. If you are born again, raise your hand up. You have done all the dying you are going to do. You have done all the dying you are going to do. Completely. You've done it. Because the next time that, the next time it happens, as you open your eyes, as you open your actual eyes, you meet your Lord and Savior. Because the Bible says, for you to be absent from the body, you are present. You are present with the Lord. So to die is gain. It is gain. But, because when you hear these stories, person has reached 120, person has died. Thinking, didn't you know that God promised them long life? But the more I thought about it, the longer I thought about it, I realized Paul said to die is gain for every, even if it was an illness that bullied you out of your body. Would you still be sick when you open your eyes and Jesus receives you? Would you still be sick? No. So to die is gain. However, if we are going to remain this side of time, it has to be for Christ. See, that's how I know God had gone before me and he had went through. Pastor, your altar needs to be on fire for Christ. But on fire for Christ. If not, if the reason why if purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. The question is, why are you alive? Why are you still breathing? Why? I want to live to 120. I was about to be naughty. I want a house for those of us that come from Nigeria. I won't mind one in Dubai. Why are you alive? What's your purpose? What is your purpose? What wakes you up in the morning with joy? What gets you going? Why are you alive? Paul said, for him it is Christ. It is Christ. That's the reason why he's alive. Will the same be said of us? That it, from the moment we gave our life to Christ till we left this other time, we lived every moment for Christ. Why are you alive? What's the purpose? Why are you here? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 4. I absolutely love chapter 4. As a matter of fact, I think, okay, yes, Lord, I'll take that as an assignment
to actually go back and read the whole chapter of Acts.
Did you know there's an Acts chapter 29? There's an Acts chapter 29. Did you know? Flip through your Bible to Acts chapter 29. Has anybody found Acts 29? Did I say? Someone said no. No. Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why? You are the one writing it. You are the one writing it. Acts 29. You are the one writing it. So yes, Lord, I'll take that as an assignment. I will read Acts, the whole of Acts. But we are in chapter 4. In chapter 3, we see Peter and John. They are going to pray as normal. A man from his birth, lame. And the man asked them for alms. We know the story. Power of God. The faith in the name of Jesus got the man jumping, leaping, walking. And then the, what's it called? The religious people tried to stop everything. But what did the believers then do? From verse 29. They came together and they prayed. They prayed. And then now, if you fast forward to verse 33 reads, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to what? The resurrection of our Lord, and great grace was upon them. That's it. That's your purpose. That's the reason why you're alive. To be a witness to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be a witness to the resurrection. He's not dead anymore. He's alive. And because he's alive, you are now reconciled with God. You are now reconciled back to God. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's your purpose. To be a witness. Wherever it is you may find yourself. Whatever field that you find yourself, that is your purpose. To be a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think it's Matthew. Yes, please, Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. And from, okay, if I give you the backstory of Matthew 17, Jesus had taken, he took Peter, James, and John, and they went up to the mountain. The main disciples were down. A man with a child that had, what was the name? That was paralytic. He brought his child to the remaining disciples, and they couldn't heal the boy. So we now join Matthew 17, and we are going to 14. Yeah. And when they had come down, when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said to them, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." If I start with in verse 19. I mean, have you ever gone to God in prayer?
you had the promise of God concerning what you're going to God for, and you've gone and you've prayed, you believed, you received, and nothing happened. What did you do? What did you do? I love what the disciples did. Because if you have done all you know to do, and what you expected to happen doesn't happen, what should you do? Ask questions. And they secretly, the Bible says, the disciples came to Jesus privately. Now, scenario. They try to cast the demon out. Nothing happened. Jesus comes down. Hey. And Jesus rebukes. Demon goes. The disciples, oh, yay, my Lord and Savior has done it. And then they didn't come to Jesus privately. Would we get the passage I'm about to teach from today? No. Because until you inquire, until you ask, you won't know. And the proof that you've done all that was expected of you is that when it doesn't happen, go to the one that promised you and say, okay, looks like it was me. But what went wrong? What am I still not doing? They went to Jesus privately to find out. Yeah, they went in his, and that ought to be our lifestyle, because we're not doing it in our own name. You pray the name of Jesus, nothing happened. Okay, private. Okay, because that is a learning process is about to happen. Because if you are attentive, when you hear, you will surely grow. And by the end of this sermon, you'll be glad that the disciples went to Jesus to ask him. Because what the man came for, didn't he get it? Jesus did it. So now say, hey, Jesus has done it. Let's carry on with life as normal, isn't it? No. But they did something that we ought. No, I'm not saying expect to fail. No. It's those times when you know you have done all that you are expected to do, and what you are expected to happen hasn't happened. Go to him, inquire of him, or rather, better still. Small sidetrack. How I got the quote, what the wise do at the beginning, fools do at the end. My first degree was in Obafemi University in Nigeria. I entered to do the course called biochemistry because my father had intentions of me becoming a doctor. He had his own plans. I had my own plans. And God, of course, had his own plans. Second year, I made my way to computer science with economics. So that's where today I teach economics. Because the economic side of things, A's and B's, because I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But economics only was 30% of the whole course. The rest was computer science. By the time I got to third year, I not see one computer. So I said, what's the point? I'm being serious. I did not go for any lecture. I said, what's the point? I'm teaching us code. We can't even type it in and debug. I just lost all. I was getting A's in economics. I let my people go in computer science. For those of us who don't know what let my people go is, grade E. Just let my people go. So in my fifth year, I bumped into a friend who studied law. And I was telling him, 5 years, can you believe it? No one see computer. My project had to do with was AI related, how to develop a software that it would ask you questions, and from my database it was career advice. I didn't see computer. My supervisor said, yes, we'll get you computer. But you might know me by now. I'm not aggressive. You told me you're going to do it, so I expected him to. Well, throughout towards the end, I had to just use one CD program to just do it. And so I was telling him. He now said, you know what? That was him. But in year two, the cases that they were studying in law were irrelevant, outdated, had nothing to do with real life. Over Christmas, year two, he bumped into an uncle who said, still study it. Still study them and get A's. But they're redundant. Study them, get A's. Guess what?
your employers out there know that university is teaching you redundant cases. But you turn up with a first class. You have studied and excelled in what is redundant. When they give you what is now, what is now in date, you will thrive. They would employ you. And I said, oh God, where were you? In my 200. Yeah. So what the wise do at the beginning, the fools do at the end. Yeah. Before you embark on that project, seek God to find out exactly what needs to be done. Because the truth is, He will tell you. But yes, nonetheless, you have done all that is expected of you, and you're expecting a result and nothing happens. Go to Him privately and inquire. Find out. Learning process about to happen. And I love the answer that Jesus gave them. He said, because of your unbelief. And then He now told them, surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. Now, how many of you, when studying this, do you think Jesus was actually talking to a mountain? If you say to this mountain, move, it obey you. I think for Him to use this, He was pointing to a mountain. Yeah. They had just seen demon-possessed child. They could not cast the devil out. But Jesus said, when you have faith as a mustard seed, you will talk to things and obey you. If you have faith as a mustard seed. And the potential of that mustard seed is in the seed. And to get the mountain to move, what did you have to do? Say, speak. What you have faith in will come out when you talk. We'll know what you believe in. Your mouth will give you away. Remember, I said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you speak to this mountain, it will move. And then He says, oh, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. So yes, I'll put myself on the spotlight, Brother Greg. Yes, I feel very uncomfortable because I forget Jesus has told me nothing will be impossible. All I have to do is, many years ago, I met the man called Jesus and my life has changed. If you don't believe me, give me one problem you're going through. What do you call it? Okay, would you allow me to pray with you? Because sometimes unbelievers just need to experience power. Why are you talking with them? Just demonstrate the fact that Jesus is alive. Listen, that uncomfortability will leave when you know He's always with you. And nothing. You're not going to show off. You're not going there to show off. You're just going to let them know that Jesus is Lord. I will save you time. I will let His power do the talking. But in knowing fully well that Jesus is backing you up, and He has said nothing will be impossible. Nothing. So now you are free. I hope next month everybody will be there. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. However, Jesus is still talking. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And here, when I meet Jesus, I said, you should have been very precise with us when you said this kind. Because for years, we still don't know what He meant when He said this kind. So let's see. What was Jesus talking about when He said this kind doesn't go out but by prayer and fasting? Who wants to help us? What do you think Jesus was relating to when He said this kind doesn't go out but by prayer and fasting? Who wants to? Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I like that. Like that. Anybody wants to add to that? Yes. A senior ranking demon. I like that. Thank you very much. Any more additions? This kind of problem. Thank you very much. Yes. Any more? Ah, the problem surrounding my unbelief. I love it. You're very close to the actual answer. Yes. Thank you very much. God bless you. Absolutely. 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 Because we have prayed, we have fasted. We have prayed, we have fasted. Because we thought that demon, Jesus was talking about the demon. No. Because in answering them, when they asked them straight question, why could we not cast it out? Because of your unbelief. Unbelief. You can have all the faith in the world. You pray. One tiny dot of what if. For just forget that prayer. If you had spent 30 minutes and you have sweat. And you have, what if it's not my turn? Just forget it. That unbelief. We need. Something needs to be done. For us to start Thank God for those. But yes, when we get to heaven, I say, Jesus, you could have helped us. Because some people have built ministries on this. Praying and fasting. Cast the demon out. No. 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 Because he said, and nothing will be impossible for you. So why are we not doing the impossible? Why are we not? Why isn't the impossible? That's what challenges us with. Anything small. Impossible, okay, yes. Stage 4 cancer, okay. In the name of, go and attack it. Why? Unbelief. See, unbelief. See, unbelief. Unbelief. If you made £1 million today, and you know the process, you won't keep it a secret, would you? No. But you have life. You have the life. So you're praying and fasting. The goal of any praying and fasting is love. Because, you know, the disciples said, help our faith. We're not talking about faith. Yeah. Because for you to develop your faith, spend time on God's word. Spend time on God's word. Yeah. But to get rid of what may short circuit your faith, unbelief and fear, prayer and fasting is what gets rid of it. Because especially what fasting does, you are denying your flesh food. And you sit down. So now, let me correct this. Fasting is not staying away from food. That's just step one. But in the staying away from food target, I need to hear God. Because hearing the voice of God is the foundation to your faith. I'll say that again. Hearing the voice of God is the foundation to your faith. How does faith come? Hearing. So the goal of your fasting is I must hear. Because if you wake up tomorrow morning and say, as far as God liveth, today I shall not touch food until 6 o'clock, and you do not spend time praying, you just had hunger strike, religious activity of denying your body food. Add to that experience, I must hear God. Amen. I must. Because that's how that kind
is kicked out. And we need to read it from our midst so that we can do what Jesus, he said, greater. He said greater. And listen, which one should be more glorious? The first church or the last one? Which one should be more glorious? The first or the last? The first or the last? The last. We are building on everything they have done. They took them and said, no, don't you talk about Jesus. As a teacher, I know what I face. I'm since I know the social, I can't, if I preach Jesus, the political incorrect, I might lose my job. And so I shut up. No. No. Only once they skinned them, they punished them and said, don't you ever. They got together to pray. And what do listen? Acts 4 is not added for, is not special effect. That is said, the room where they were shook. No! No! They couldn't keep the reality of what has happened to them. They couldn't. They said, listen to them. They are saying we should not talk about you, but give us boldness. Boldness. To go out and do it. The whole room shook. And the Bible says, with great power. Great, great power. Ours should be greater power. We went out and we witnessed to the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We are building on Apostle Paul. So our time should be greater. We should see greater. And Jesus said, the things I do, you will do greater. Why? Because I go to my Father. I love that statement. But if there's unbelief, even with Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and you're praying in His name, you won't have the boldness to ask. Because some are thinking, I'm not an apostle. Because it just says there, with great power, the apostles. I'm not a pastor. I'm just a member of a church. I go on Sunday and come back. I go to work. I give my tithe. No. If when I walked in, did you say, oh, Mr. O's toe has come in? No. Toe is part of my body. So the honor you accord me, you accord my toe. So even if you are the toe in the body of Christ, you have an assignment. You have something God is counting on you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth, I've got it. But now I'm saying, you go. He said, all. What does all mean? When he said all, was something left out? No, all authority in heaven and earth. Got it. You go and make disciples. I am with you. The things that I did at the tip of the iceberg, small. You will do greater. But if you have not dealt with unbelief,
we haven't started. I'd like to round up with. Who was here anniversary last year? Pastor Adi said something powerful. He hasn't left me. He can't leave me. Come, who remembers what Pastor Adi said? Anybody remembers? If each year you dedicate your life to discipling one person, just one person. I found my own one person. I'm still praying. I could have done better. I found that one person. Family on my wife's side. Lovely man. Lovely man. Everybody loves him. But he has a dark side. Jesus captured him. But if everyone should dedicate 1 year to disciple one. Love mathematics. You got the money. After year 10, how many would we have? If, oh, sorry. Sorry. I've gone ahead of myself. If each year you disciple one, and then once you've discipled one, you now train, teach that other person to go and get one disciple. So one becomes two, two becomes four. I know it's God, and you can't just belittle God to mathematics, but that mathematics was beautiful. Because by year 10, we're talking what, sir? Over 1 million. Year 10. Is business to more than 1 million? I mean, that's simple mathematics, but yeah, now you have this disciple one. But then, the longer I thought about it, I realized, might it be because most of us are not yet disciples? Because disciple means you are disciplined and following Jesus. And you can't give what you don't have. But from my last session, divine discipline, instruction, he would always guide you. He would always speak to you. So once you know what it takes to be a disciple, Jesus is saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has given me. Now you go. Your job is to go out and just make disciples. Go out and make disciples. Go out and witness. Go out and witness. Nobody knows when Jesus would return, but he gave us an indication of when. He says when the gospel has been preached to the end of the world with evidence, he'll be here. So we can hasten. This is whether you live 33 like Jesus, 70, 90, Methuselah, because when I received this, I had to go and check. According to the Bible, Methuselah, 969. And then, according to Guinness Book of Record, the French woman hit 122. And then the closest to him, to her, was a Japanese man, 119. Whether he lived 119 or 122. You're living for eternity. I hope you know that. We're not here to stay. You're not here to stay. Even if you live now 169 years, compared to eternity, it's just one drop. Beep. You know, one blink of an eye. You've not started eternity. You haven't started. Because in eternity, there's no time. You are here on a mission. You are here on a mission. And guess what? What's your mission? To witness. Witness. The next weekend is the greatest event. Well, the second greatest. No, the greatest, actually. Because the birth of Jesus was the greatest event. Yeah, they killed him. He became obedient to the point of death. He lasted only 3 days. On the third day, he rose again. And he is Lord. Whether you live 30, 33, 50, 40, 60, 70, whether you get 120, in sound health, it's just a fraction. It's an insult to call that a fraction of eternity. It's nothing. Because in eternity, you're here on a mission. And that mission is to witness the resurrection of Jesus. I said this many years ago. You get to heaven, and somebody comes and says, "I am here because of you." What a glorious feeling! They get to heaven and say, "I'm here because of you." Or, and this one. Oh yes, listen. If your uncomfortability does not make you come out, stay at home and pray for those who have gone out. Because you get to heaven and someone say, "I'm here because you touched God with that prayer of intercession. It was your prayer that God heard that made the words that Brother Greg speak to me that brought me in the kingdom." What a glorious feeling. Oh God, I'm here because of you. Hallelujah. We are here. Yes, let us get the... Let us be blessed. Let's enjoy. But, Mr. O, focus. Your mission, yeah, even if you live 120, yeah, is to be a witness of Jesus. And as Pastor said, I'll round up with this. The simplest way to get it done is keeping the altar of your heart always on fire.
Whenever you say, oh, what if, oh, declare 2 day, 3 day fast to get rid of that unbelief. To get rid of it. Pastor says, next week we are going to meet. So, yes, I'm there. Nothing. No. Let me check. No, we are here. We are here to be witnesses of Jesus. Amen. And I decided to play with words when I went with with discipline. Because when you go to university, we see different people with different disciplines. So different sectors of knowledge. But divine discipline in this case is you knowing the reason why you are here and you doing all it takes to make sure that you are equipped to do the impossible, to witness to Jesus, and to go to the ends of the world and to disciple people, knowing fully well that He is with you. It's not time to be lazy. It's not time to be complacent. It's not time to be giving excuses. One said, oh, Jesus, I'm full, but hey, let me go and bury. He said, let the dead bury the dead. In honor, you're just packaging body, clay, and you're putting it back where it came from. Excuses, what? Get rid of the excuses. I think what you ought to do this week as we approach the resurrection weekend is to focus on the altar of your heart. And let the fire fall again. Remember when you first gave your life to Jesus. I remember I wanted to preach anywhere I go. I'm preaching. But now you fast forward to no, we cannot afford for that to happen. Keep the fire burning. And on that note, have you been blessed this morning? Stand to your feet and let's give God all the praise. Hallelujah.